Let's have a look just one more time, if you don't mind, at Romans chapter 8. We're winding this down, and we've talked about a lot of different things. Most recently about fleeces, then about open doors, then about red lights, and hope it's helping you a little bit to understand what God wants us to see here and how he leads us. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. That's another one of our main verses. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit is the light. It's the illumination. So your mind does not have the illumination like your spirit does. Illumination doesn't come into your mind first. It does on natural things. But when it comes to the plan of God and anything supernatural, anything divine, it doesn't start with the brain. So don't look to your brain. It starts with your spirit. The spirit is the illumination of God, candle of the Lord. That means the light of the Lord. The light of God is in your spirit, and it's searching the different part, the inward parts of you, and it's in touch with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is living in your spirit, and that illumination in your spirit is what is the guidance, because if you have illumination, you'll know what to do and where to go. Amen? Some phrases I've said before, I just want to repeat them about the leading of the Spirit in terms of that inner witness that we just read. That inner witness has a velvety feeling to it. Dad Hagen called it a velvety feeling. It has a smooth feeling. It has a light and easy feeling. It has a flourishing sense. It's like a nice, just brand new paved road versus a gravel road. That's the feeling you get on the inside when the Lord's trying to lead you out of something or into something. Because gravel, that sense of that's got this river flow to it versus this dry riverbed type of dusty, grinding kind of feeling. Do you understand? There's a joy and a peace versus uneasiness. Things seem to click and unfold with ease versus the great struggle. You got to learn this. I can only tell you things, it's hard to explain spiritual things in English, but I can only try to explain to you what that sense is on the inside with these adjectives, but you're going to have to figure this out on your own. If you're out of that flow, remember, because we're led by red lights, so that's what the green light feels like, but what about this red light? It's got that feeling like you're dragging something, like it's a weight. If you're sensing that, but you got to divide between your soul and your spirit. That's why you got to pray in tongues a lot and read the word. Because you can have something in your soul that is feeling heavy, but it's not coming out of your spirit. Out of your spirit is light. That's why you really have to divide. Like Pastor Nancy said, one day a person had left her church, and he said, and this has happened at our church too, by the way, but I'm just quoting her, and the person said to a friend who told Pastor Nancy, oh, I just feel such peace after leaving that church, after leaving World Harvest Church. But Pastor Nancy said to me, I said, well, how does that work? I mean, if they're out of the will of God, how could they feel peace? She goes, they didn't feel peace, they felt relief. You see, because when they're under conviction, because they're not living right or they're not doing right, and the enemy is working on them, and their own conscience is agitated, and their own spirit is agitated because it's being convicted. Then your mind, because it's connected to your spirit, it's very similar. It's not the same, but it's close. Your mind can feel like, because your spirit's grieved, your mind can get kind of annoyed a little bit. But instead of responding and dealing with the spiritual issue and getting right, you just leave. Then when you leave, you have relief because your mind is not being bombarded by the devil. Your guilty conscience is because you're not under that anointing anymore. So you're not feeling that kind of conviction. Your mind feels relief. That's not spiritual peace. That's why you got to learn the difference between what is of your soul realm and what is of your spirit realm. And that's really ultimately everything about being led by the Spirit is learning the difference between soul and spirit. And it is, just have a look quickly with me in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm giving these verses, but it's just sometimes healthy for our mind to fall upon it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. That means alive. The word quick means not like fast, quick. It means quickened or made alive and effectual, operating. The word here, powerful, is the Greek word energeis, where you get the word energize. So energized, you know, like there's an energy, there's a life, there's a productivity and effectualness to it. That's what that word means. So it's alive and it's working. It's energized and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So you see, they are different. And of the joints and marrow. Well, it's not physically going into your joints and marrow. He's using joints and marrow as a comparative statement to soul and spirit. So just as really some translations say bone and marrow. Yeah. But if you look at bone and marrow, medically, there's no dividing line. They just blend like a rainbow. There's no dividing line between the colors. They just blend, but they are distinct. Where does purple end and from, what is it? Let's say yellow and orange, whatever. Where does that line end and where does it begin? There is no dividing line. They blend. Where does marrow end and bone start? There is no dividing line. They blend. So your soul and your spirit, there is, in one perspective, no dividing line, but there is a dividing line. In your mind, are you listening to me? Yes. Your mind cannot divide between your soul and your spirit because they blend. So how are we going to know what's of the spirit and what's of the soul? Because what's of the spirit's going to get us help and what's of the soul could get us in trouble. Yes. But while we were raised, the chip on our shoulder, our arrogant attitude, or our beat down worm-like attitude, or what comes out of the tracks we're from, or what kind of a year we had, or how people treated us when we were children, how people treated us yesterday. There's a whole lot of factors here that are going to affect how you make decisions. And everybody's got an individual unique situation for them. I mean, Deanne's is different to mine. I'm different to Willie. But everybody has to face their own thing here. Everybody has a soul. Everybody has a spirit. Everybody is blending together. How do we make the dividing line? The word of the Lord is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing asunder. That means dividing. The word asunder means to separate. So it separates, literally separates soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now listen, the Lord said to me one day, and then, you know, I thought, well, Lord, I haven't really heard anybody. And then I heard Pastor Nancy the next week say it on her broadcast. So although I hadn't heard people say this, but this is a very basic statement, I'm just saying I hadn't never heard anybody say it, but she confirmed it. But the Lord said to me one day, he said, this is the word of God, the Bible that you're holding. Yeah. But he said, the word of God is more than that. The word of God is the Holy Ghost speaking the word to you that lines up with the written word, but for your specific life. Yes. That is the word of the Lord to you, and the faith can come by that instruction of the Holy Ghost, but faith can only come by the word. But the word is not just written, the word is also rhema. Now anything that is spoken has to line up with this. But it is rhema, and it is something breathed or spoken by the Spirit. And Dad Hagen, you know, in one of his books said the same thing. He said the word of the Lord primarily is the written word for general life. But when you need to know a specific thing, you can't find a verse. Yeah. But that's why we've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. That's why when Jesus said to Dad Hagen, he said, follow my word and follow the Holy Ghost and what I tell you. Because what he tells you is going to be very distinct for your life. But you've got to learn what is him and what's not him. Because people have messed up their whole futures thinking God told them something and it wasn't really God at all. So when he says the word of the Lord, the rhema word, that has to line up with that, but is specific for your life that he wants to communicate, you've still got to make sure that that is God, not you. How do you do that? The word, if the word of the Lord, the rhema word, is truly the word of God, that word is going to help divide your soul and spirit, but you got to match it with the scriptures, and you got to match it with the inward witness of the Spirit. Amen. But there is a dividing. Things can be divided, even though they're very, very close. And this is the ultimate. This is why he said it's the most important thing you can teach a believer, because I'm telling you, this is the ultimate issue with Christians. Why do so many Christians not fulfill the plan or the thing that God really wanted them to do, which would include the finances that would be attached to that? Because if you're in the plan and will of God, the perfect will of God, the finances are going to follow you. Health is going to follow you. Strength is going to follow you. Favor is going to follow you. But so many believers, you don't see them with health or strength or favor or financial increase, and they're struggling. Why? It's not necessarily a faith issue, although sometimes it is. A lot of times it's a will issue. You're not where God wants you. You're not doing what he's commanding you. And you don't even know what he's commanding you because you don't know how to be led by him. Because you live so much in your feeling, emotional, soul realm, but you've never developed the human spirit. You can develop your spirit man in learning how to listen and be sensitive to that spirit man. But the way you do that is many different cases with the Lord and learning that prompting and learning by trial and error when you make a mistake. You need to do that. And don't worry about making a mistake, but try to make mistakes on the little things. Amen. Not on big things like, do I buy that house? Yes. Do you understand? Amen. And little things every day. Yes. The Lord will just give you a little prompting when you're driving sometimes, or to talk to somebody, or this. And sometimes you can't really tell, that it doesn't play out enough for you to know if that worked out, if that was God or not. But other times it does. Yeah. So these are very practical things. But that's how you're going to learn, is not just when you're in church. Your learning is not necessarily in here, although you can learn in here. You're being taught here, but the execution of this is not really in this church building, although it could happen. The Lord could say, do that, give this, talk to that person, you know, serve in that department, of course. But the majority of your learning is when you're outside this building living your life. So when you're driving and you feel the little prompting, don't go on that road, and you ignore it. You know, you recognized it, but you thought, that's just me. And then all of a sudden there's a traffic jam and you're late. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. Was that you? That couldn't have been you. That was so tiny. That didn't seem spiritual. That didn't feel spiritual. Was that you? Well, maybe that was you, because I didn't listen to it and I got in trouble. It's better that you learn it with a traffic jam then you learn it by marrying the wrong person. Do you understand? But we got to learn this, and he will lead you in day-to-day things. He will. Today, let me give you an example. Somebody very generously gave me a gift card for my birthday last year with a store I've never heard of before, but I just had it in my wallet, and I haven't thought about it since October. But today, there was just a little prompting. Take that gift card out and see when it expires. See if it expires. That's what the thought came. So I found the number and I called the people and I said, you know, I have a gift card here that somebody gave me. I've never heard of your store, your company, your clothing store. When does it expire? Oh, it doesn't expire, sir, but we have a big sale and it expires tomorrow. It expires tonight at midnight. And I said, oh, okay, but you can go online and look. So I went online and I found some things that I wanted, some ties and different things, saved hundreds of dollars by the discount. And I first didn't even connect the dots. I'm just processing the gift card number into the system, waiting for it to process. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, I just saved you money. And I thought, that was you? That was you? That was you? That little thought that I had, check the gift card, that was you? That was me, son. That little thought that I put that little thought in your mind. Your spirit bubbled up. You didn't even really notice it because it's just a little thought. But if I hadn't have done that, would it have been the end of the world? No, I would have just got less items. Yes, yes. Because what the gift card value got me 5 items, I would have got 3 items. Yeah. Because the sale would have ended. Yeah. But I got 5 instead of 3. Yeah. But that little tiny prompting put 2 new ties in my closet. Yeah. And not a big deal, not the end of the world. It's not going to make or break me. But the Holy Spirit's trying to teach me. He's trying to help me. He's trying to show me. This is how I lead you. And a lot of times it's a little thought. It has to come to your brain or you can't acknowledge it and act on it. So it's going to wind up here, but how do you not know that it didn't originate from here and go blip, 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 blip. You don't always feel it. Sometimes you do when it's big things. When it's warnings, you definitely feel it. When it's correction, you definitely feel it. But sometimes you don't always feel it. You just feel like, oh, that's just a little thought. It's so true. How many times is that? You just thought, talk to that person. Talk to that person. And then I find out later, that person says, you know, I was going through such a difficult time, and you didn't even really even say anything, but just that one phrase, I held on to it for weeks. Yeah. And I'm thinking, really? Yeah. I didn't even know that was God. Just a little thought comes into your mind. Learn how to follow that. But the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll be more sensitive to that. A lot of people, they don't even know the thought's there. They don't even recognize the thought. Now listen, let me tell you another little hint. The more you're rushing all the time, and I'm guilty of that because I'm usually rushing. But my wife is like lava. Slow flow. Yeah, she don't rush for nothing. She's organized. She leaves early. I'm like, why are you leaving this early? It takes 35 minutes to get to church. Why are you giving yourself an hour? I don't like to rush. For me, if it takes 35 minutes, I give myself 29. And then I just say, Lord, clear the road for the police. And the Lord says, I'm not doing that. You should have left earlier. That's a prayer I can't answer. Clear the road of the police. But today I said, Lord, I'm running a little behind. Send me help. And an ambulance showed up. And I just followed that ambulance all the way to church. But that's not God. That's not God. That's coincidence. Yes. That's got nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. She's slow flow. I'm fast torrential waterfall. But it's better to be slow because I've noticed if you're in a panic, if your soul is going all the time, you will miss cues. You will miss that little tiny thought, that little tiny unction. You'll miss it when you're always upset about things, when you're very emotional about things, when you're rushing and stressed all the time. Why? Because your soul has to pick up the cue from your spirit. Yeah. That's your mind realm, right? But if your mind is always all the time, that little tiny little bloop, it's gone. It's like a little thing in a hurricane. You just can't discern it. But if you're calm, that little tiny thing, you'll go, oh, what's that? Yeah. So I'm telling you, practical things like living in peace in your home makes a big difference about whether you're led by the Spirit or not. Yeah. Practical things like leaving a little early so you're not rushing. Yeah. I'm serious. These are very practical, but they aid. Yes, sir. Yeah. You understand? Anything that robs peace, you need to learn to hold off from you. Yeah. And if rushing robs peace, so just be better on time management. Yeah. You can do it. Don't tell me. You get people say, I can't help but being late. That's foolishness. Of course you can help but being late. You just got to plan your time better. And I know whereof I speak. So I know it's possible to change because I have changed. Don't even say anything. I'm working on changing. And I have a lot changed. You should see. My mother has really raised me wrong. I mean, my mother was late for everything. And don't tell me that's not true, mother. You just have to repent. No, I didn't make you late. But we lived in a rushed thing. That's just her personality. But you know what? I'm like her. I got that rushed thing. It's true. Don't even start with me because I know it's true. I remember. Hurry up. We're going to be late. Hurry up. Hurry up. And then... And sure enough, we might have been 1 minute late or right on time, but every time it was like that. I don't ever remember ever going anywhere with my mother any time in my life early. But that's okay. Just relax. You're good. You're golden. We all love you. But that's part of your personality. Nothing wrong with that. It's part of my person. She's denying it, but it's the truth. Believe me. It's the truth. That's part of my personality. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a sin to be that way. It's not wrong to be that way, but it's not as skillful to be that way. Because if you want to be led by the Spirit, you can't have that panicked flow all the time. So you have to learn to budget your time better. You got to learn to have peace in your home more. Are you with me? Well, I don't know if you like it or not, but I don't really give a flying. A goose fart on a muggy day. That's a new one I just heard. And that was from a Minnesotan, but not Bill Matthews.
No?
No. But he told me that's a Minnesota phrase. I don't give a good goose fart on a muggy day. So that's a good one, Jenny. We could use that one because we have the space one, the flying fart in space. No. But now we can do a good goose fart on a muggy day. I don't give a good goose fart. Praise God. So I'm looking for these little colloquialisms, especially from people that live in the other parts of the world. So, okay, anyway, let's just move right along here. Thank you, Brother Blair. We talked last week a little bit about the perception, and Paul, remember? Yeah. And the perception. I didn't give you the scripture, so just look it up. It's in the Bible. Find it. I don't have to give you every scripture. It's there. I perceive this voyage is going to be blah, blah, blah. So we talk about that. That is not the witness. That is just your spirit picking things up because you're trained your spirit to be sensitive. Right. And then about Dr. Joseph and how he was making a massive decision. And the associate pastor opened his mouth and said, well, I think you should pray. By then he said, when you know God like I do, you don't need to pray. Meaning, it's not that you don't pray. Meaning, I'm praying all the time. I'm in fellowship consistently. You pick your times to pray and then you don't think about God. But I am constantly in fellowship. That's what praying without ceasing means. It doesn't mean you're actually praying all the time, but you're connected. That connection is there. Okay, and so I was, and that's where you can sometimes, the point was, Pastor Nancy said to the pastors, sometimes there's a sense that you have. Don't make major decisions on that, but there is a sense that you can pick up, and it doesn't even necessarily need to be the inner witness. Really, what she's talking about is that perception, your spirit being so developed that you can pick things up, but also that kind of second part of that is you can know God to such a measure. That because you're walking with him all the time, you'll pick things up even without the Holy Ghost talking to you. And we were sharing that a little bit last week. Do you remember if you were here? Okay. I want to give you some examples, practical living examples to help you understand that have helped me. Okay? Don't you get so excited. Okay. So last year, we had to go up for the youth something. I don't know what it was. Something at Oasis. I can't remember what we were doing. I think it was something to do with youth or whatever it was. I can't remember. But we had to. There was not enough room on the property for us because we needed to give the house that we normally stay in to other people to stay because there was we ran out of room, and so we went to get a little Airbnb a few minutes away, and I thought, well, I'd rather pay the money and let somebody else pay much less and stay on the property than have somebody else pay the extra money. So I kind of deferred. I would have preferred to be on the property, but we went and got an Airbnb. So there were two Airbnbs that we could have selected. One was 5 minutes away, but it was quite expensive. The other was 25 minutes away, but it was much, much cheaper. And online, they both looked okay. The one that was more expensive obviously is nicer. You can tell by the pictures that it's nicer. But the other one didn't look bad at all. It really didn't look bad at all. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to go with that one because just let's save some money. And, you know, I don't like to make decisions to save money, but there is common sense as well, right? And you have to use common sense too. Now, your first problem is, I'm trying to teach you. This is a little thing. You don't have to do this if you don't want. I'm just trying to teach you. It would have been better for me to say, Holy Spirit, which one should I pick? And if I don't have a prompting or a leading, maybe just pray 5 minutes. You don't have to pray for an hour. Just, Lord, I don't know which one. Just, I get into my spirit. I just want to get into my spirit. So, just quiet your mind for a minute. It doesn't have to be long. Just even 30 seconds. Just pray in the spirit a little bit and quieten your mind and look down here and see if there's a prompting one way or the other. See, I didn't do that. I just made the decision because I didn't want to spend too much money. And that's a reason that most people make decisions, if you're honest with yourself, in today's day and age. So we get there and it was fine, but it was the weekend or the 4 days from hell. Because it was cold and the furnace broke. And the thermostat, which controlled the furnace, broke. And everything broke. The TV didn't work. The fans didn't work. We're looking in there and out of what, 30 different pot lights everywhere, like 18 were missing. So we're kind of in a dingy kind of feeling because the lights aren't proper. And I'm calling the owner who don't pick up. And this is a super host. They don't get back to you. They don't get back to you. Hours are passing. It's supposed to be within 60 minutes. And then finally they say, oh, well, you know, they're making excuses. And I say, well, you need to come and do this. It's cold. That's pretty bad. Yeah. When it's cold and you've got children there. Do you understand? There might be some heaters or whatever it was. I don't remember. But I can't remember all the details. I just know that it was really frustrating. And the person was frustrating me. And of course, I'm getting Jessica to help me, which is frustrating her. And she's got work to do. Finally, the guy is so bad, I have to call Airbnb direct, which I've never done. I had to call their line in somewhere in Europe is where their head office is or something. I was talking to somebody in Europe. And the lady was very sweet, very professional, and, well, we're going to deal with this right away. So she calls the people, and then they finally agree to send a repairman who doesn't show up. So then the next day, I'm like, the prayer man didn't show up. So they do it again. Oh, he's coming at 3:00. So I'm sitting there waiting at 3:00 instead of being at Oasis. They still don't show up. Then on the third time, they do show up and the guy goes, well, I don't know how to fix this. So I called, you have no idea, back and forth between the owner and between the head office, back and forth. Finally, the head office said, we are so sorry. This is absolutely ridiculous. We are going to deal with them directly. Would you like to leave? I said, there's one day left. There's no point leaving now. We're cold. We've grown accustomed to the cold. Okay. So what's the point? Well, okay, we're going to refund you part of it and whatever. And so they did, you know, but it didn't matter really about the money. It was it ruined the experience. Yeah, yeah. It ruined the experience. Yeah, yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went to the Lord and I said, Holy Spirit, what's going on here? Because this was a bad decision, but it looked like the right decision. But I didn't really pray, but why? See, I'm just very frank. I said, why didn't you lead me? Do I have to pray every time? Can't you just see what's going to happen and just say, prompt me and say, give me a check, don't do that? That's the thing. That's a fair question. Well, he can, but sometimes you're not listening. Sometimes you do need to pray. I don't have the answer on that question. But this is what he did say to me, and this really taught me something. He said, son, go with your desire. If I don't check you, not with the cost.
Wow. So
good. Go with your desire. Yeah. If I don't check you, don't go with the cost.
Yeah.
So why? He didn't prompt me in the normal way with a check. But what he did give me is a desire, which is like a green light. Because when I looked at the two, I remember, Greg, looking at that and thinking, oh, that's really nice. And really, I guess I didn't pick up on it, because we pick up on checks easier than you know what I'm, the red light is easier to notice than the green light, because it's like, it's a bit more of a shock to us. But the velvety feeling is just kind of like, I just keep going. It feels good. It's just smooth. But sometimes it makes you go, oh, what's going on here? But sometimes it's harder to find that. Is that a velvety feeling or not? Like, what is that? But you see, I'm trying to help you, because help me. The Lord said, when you look, he's teaching me. He said, when you looked at that other property, he said, what did you feel? I said, I felt good, but it looked really nice. And I thought that I'd really like that. I even remember saying, I'd really like that. But then that one is more responsible. You listening? Don't tell me cheap, because you've done the same thing 1,000 times. Every one of the people in this room has done that. So he said to me, now I said, why didn't you give me a check about that? And he said, I didn't need to give you a check. I gave you a green light about that. But how do you tell the green light? There was a desire. It felt good inside. You see, we are so, I'm trying to help you. We are so conditioned to look for what doesn't feel right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the red light?
Yeah.
And that is often way God leads us. Scripturally, we read that last week. But what about, don't just ignore what does feel right.
Yeah.
In order to find what doesn't feel right. Because he doesn't always lead you with the check about what not to do. He often leads you with the green light and the bearing of witness with what to do.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
This is a very important point, because I am so conditioned to look for the ooh. That when it feels, I just go, oh, that's just me. That's just me being wanting a nice place. That's just me being maybe, what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit of a prima donna, or a little bit of a, you know, fancy pants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Highfalutin. You know, you shouldn't be that way, Craig. You need to be economical. You need to be responsible. And then what you do is you start doing math in your mind. Well, if I did that and I did that, the difference is X. What could I buy with the X? Well, I could do this and this and this and this and this with that X. You know what? I'm just going to wing it. Let's go with this one, because I want to buy all the other stuff with the savings. But that's mental. That's not spiritual. So he taught me. He said, I'm not always going to lead you. You're looking for the check too much. Look for the green light, son, as well as the red light. Because when you had that sense of, I like that. But you thought it was soul. You thought you were just being highfalutin. But if you checked your spirit, you would have found that that was coming out of your spirit, man. But I didn't check my spirit. I made the decision based on money. Are you listening to me? So what I guess the rule here is, or the lesson learned, is slow down and check your spirit. And don't just look for the red. Look for the green as well as the red. Is there a check? No. Okay. Is there a bearing of witness? Does it feel like something in here feels good, or is it just up here? And this is where you're going to have to learn. Trial and error is going to help you discern this over the years and over hundreds of experiences. You don't learn it on the first one, but you're going to learn it over time if you'll commit to being a good student of how to be led by the Spirit. So in that, when I look back, Greg, I realized there was something that felt good, and it wasn't just up here with the highfalutin, snobby, oh, I want the fancy one. But I remember distinctly when I thought back, but because at the moment I didn't check. But when I thought back, as he said, think back. Slow down and think back. Remember what happened. And I said, well, Lord, when I saw that, and I really like that. I was just thinking, well, that's just me wanting to be highfalutin. He said, but you didn't check your spirit, son. You're just condemning yourself because you don't feel you should be fancy pants. But check your spot. Don't worry about being a fancy pants. Check your spirit. Because out of your spirit, something was coming with a green light, a bearing of witness. And he said, and if you'd done that, none of this would have happened. So then he said, was the savings, and he quoted me the amount. He said, was that $800, whatever it was that worth what you went through? I said, Lord, $10,000 wasn't worth what I went through. It ruined my week. The Holy Ghost knows what's going to ruin your week. He knows the super host is a jerk host, not a super host, loser host. That's what I want to write, as I did on the review. And I've never written a bad review ever in my life, but that time I did. Because I thought, I have to save these new customers from this jerk who ignored me, who didn't even help, who was threatened, then sent people that don't know what they're doing, and then... Listen to this. The guy who came to repair it wasn't even a repairman.
Oh my God.
They lied to Airbnb head office saying it was a repairman. But you know who it was? It was the person that used to do the maintenance and the cleaning. He had a kind of a company for, he actually owned that property. And he was the super host. Then this other guy took over. But because he knew about the house, because he had owned the house and he was kind of handy, but he wasn't an official repairman, he was just handy. The new owner said, could we just use you if anything goes wrong? Because, you know, we live in a few number of hours away. And he said, sure. So they lied and said, we're sending a repairman for the unit, when they just sent the original owner, who's a little handyman. But he came and he said, you know, Mr. Field, can I tell you something? Because he could see I was annoyed. And I said, he said that we're off the record, right? You're not going to tell the man, the owner, what I've said. I said, no, I won't. He said, we don't have a contract with him anymore. Because at the beginning, they were on contract that they would clean and fix up. And I said, you don't? Well, then why did you come? He said, because he called me in a fit. He called me because head office was calling him, threatening him. So he called me saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I need you to go. I need you to go, even though we don't have a contract. So he said, I'm here today. He's not paying me for this.
Wow.
And I'm here because I'm just trying to be a good friend to him because, you know, we're quote unquote friends. He said, but let me tell you something. You know why I quit my contract with him? I said, why? He said, because he is the worst host I've ever seen in my life. He said, nothing has been repaired on this property for over 5 years. He said, have you noticed all the lights? I said, yeah, I noticed the lights. It looks like a dingy dungeon in here. He said, because he's too cheap to pay for lights. He said, he is the worst host I've ever seen. He doesn't want to repair everything, doesn't want to fix anything, and then calls himself a super host. And he said, I was so frustrated because when I was on contract, I would tell him, you need to fix this, you need to fix that, you need to do this, you need to keep this property up. And the guy was so cheap, he said, no, just leave it. The next customer won't notice. So he said, I broke contract with him because I couldn't, on my conscience, keep this. I can't do that. And he said, I'm only here, I'm not getting paid for it. I'm only here because he begged me. And I am not a qualified person to fix an entire heating thing in the basement. So I don't want to touch it and then ruin it and then him sue me. So I'm sorry, I can't help you. I just came basically to say I can't do anything. But there's heater. You find a heater here, a heater there, whatever. But you see, now I'm saying all of that to say this: the Holy Ghost knew that this man was a shyster. He knew, and that's probably why it's so cheap, because that's what he hooks people with, the price. And I don't care what they say, call themselves superhost or not, and whatever, the doesn't matter if, you know, I'm just saying this is that, but anything, it could apply to anything. Yeah. People put big titles on themselves. It's people true. Say that their company is this, yes. And they're this, yes. And this, and they're, and these investment people, well, I've got, and the Holy Ghost sees through every lying smokescreen out there. Your brain doesn't. You can't find it on the internet. There's no natural stimuli to let you know as a warning. But the Spirit of God knows everything. And you've got to learn to listen. And don't just look for the red. Look for the green. Part of the green is a sense of not just peace, but I learned a sense of desire. But that's not coming out of your soul. You got to check where the origin of the desire is coming out of. If there's something coming out of your spirit, a desire to do something, but it's coming from here. It's not coming from your ambition or your greed or wanting to be fancy pants. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with that, but you don't want to make decisions like that all the time. If it's coming out of here, the Lord is saying, this is what I want.
Yeah.
But it's more expensive. I'll take care of it.
Yeah,
you're my child. This is what I want.
Yes.
But Lord, I could spend all these extra savings and all of this. You're thinking wrong.
Yeah.
Your thought life is wrong about money.
Yeah.
Don't look at what you could spend. That's not the right way to think about this. Follow me.
Yeah.
First problem is I didn't even pray. Mm-hmm. Second problem, I only looked for a red light instead of a green light. And I had a great week. Great week. Just a wonderful time. Ruined my week. The Lord didn't want that. He knew it was going to happen, and he was trying to teach me. But you see, I'm learning too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well. All right. Now, can I give you part B?
Yes, sir.
We go to Dominique at the end of last year, and that person sitting on the front row there, yeah, that one there who's covering her face with her Bible right now, is a very, very honorable person.
Very.
And I'm going down to her nation. I mean, she thinks she owns the place now. I mean, she calls it my nation. I mean, it's not the nation of Dominica. It belongs to her. But see, in the spirit, I guess that's what she's laying hold of it, right? But she said, you're coming to my nation, so I want to take care of you. And, you know, it's a poor country, but there's a couple nice places. There's a few nice places. But there's one that is head and shoulders above everything. It's called the Cabritz. And it's very nice and very expensive. And so she said, I want you to stay in that one. So I'm looking at the online, I'm looking at the two things online, and I'm seeing that, and the pictures are beautiful, and the rooms are beautiful, and everything is beautiful, and we're only there literally for two nights. I mean, it's a very short trip. But you know, I thought, so I'm thinking back. I'm trying to help you. If you listen, learn from my mistakes. So the horrors of Oasis flood my mind. Okay? So, no, I'm serious, because this is what affects people. Right? So there's Cabritz, and then a little further down in Roseau, south, about half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever, maybe an hour, whatever it is, but south, there's another hotel that doesn't have quite, it's got 4 stars instead of 4 3/4, like the other one. It has good reviews, too. The price is half as much. The pictures look nice, but it's not considered the best. And so she calls me and says, Pastor, I want you to have the best. Her heart's right. I want you at the best. I want you to stay at this one. So I'm kind of looking at the two of them, and I sensed a slight leaning. I didn't have a check. Learn. And I didn't really have a desire like the one in Oasis. But I sensed, I don't know how to explain it, I just sensed my spirit did this. It leaned toward the other one. But I knew it was down in here. But it wasn't a check. And it wasn't a desire. I would have paid attention to that now. But I just felt just like a little bit of, I don't know how to explain it. It just felt like it leaned. Very gentle, very, very soft. But I did pray this time, because I messed that up before. And I just felt a leaning. That's the only way I know how to explain it. But because I'm not familiar with a leaning, I'm familiar with a check, I'm familiar with a desire, a green light. I'm not really familiar with a leaning. So I thought, well, I'm not sure. I don't really know what that means, because I can see this other one is the best. And then I'm having all the thoughts about the Airbnb at Oasis. And I'm like, well, you know what? I am not going to go by cost, because that bit me in the butt last time. So this time I'm going to go, I'm going to forget the cost, and I'm just going to go with the best. And I've got her saying to me, it's the best, and you need to go to the best. So, and it's much closer to the church, and with the services, it would have just been easier. There's a lot of reasons she was right on all of that, but I ignored this. But I didn't really think anything of it, because I'm not led normally that way. So I thought, that's just probably me. That's probably my soul wanting to pay half. Are you listening? It's probably my soul wanting to pay half. But I knew something was in here, but I couldn't figure out what it was. I'm not familiar with this feeling, the sense of my spirit. And I'm thinking, that couldn't be my spirit. That's my soul struggling again. This is Oasis happening again. Struggling with the price, thinking what I'm going to save. No, I'm not going to do that. So forget this one in Rizzo. I'm going with the best, because that's the mistake I made last time. I don't care how much it is. Bless God, he'll supply. And she's happy. And everybody's happy. And so we get. Now, because this is such a highfalutin place, none of the local people have even driven in there. They're not allowed in there. Really, it's only people that have money, and the local people don't have money. So it's pretty much only foreigners. So none of her contacts even know what it's like inside, because they've never seen it. So when her driver drove us in, that was his first time seeing it. And it's beautiful. I mean, manicured lawns and flowers. And I mean, it's really pretty. I mean, it really is, right? But he takes us to the check-in. First problem is that there's nobody around. It's a ghost town. That's the first problem. Because if it's popular, there should be somebody else there. But anyway, I ignored that, because I don't like it feeling like it's like barren. I don't like that. I don't want crowds, but I just want a normal whatever. And so I go there, it's like really quiet, it's like a mausoleum, right? Like it's just and it's very beautiful, but it's like, don't touch anything, it's so pretty, everything's so pretty, don't touch anything kind of attitude, right? And so I go there, very sweet, very nice. Here's your room, Mr. Field, and we got this for you, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you. There's a room service, thank you. And you know, would you like to put a credit card? Well, I'm only here for 2 nights, and you know, I just pay cash at the door. No problem, Mr. Field. That's fine. Very professional, very nice. I mean, they've been trying to deal with foreigners, okay? And so I said, well, I'm going to take a look. We'll get your luggage for you. I said, well, where is it? Just point me in the direction. So, oh, no, you can't walk, sir. It's too far. Our property is very sprawling. Okay. Well, how am I going to get there? We have a golf cart, private transportation for you. So they load up the golf cart, and I'm sitting on the back of the golf cart, and Jenny's sitting on the back of the golf cart, and the birds are, quack, quack, and the sun is setting, and it's just beautiful. And so they, zzz, and we're driving, and we're looking at the pond, and we're looking at the little alligator, and we're looking at this, and we're looking at that, and very nice, and we're driving, and we're driving, and we're driving, and we're driving, and I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? And 5 minutes later, at full speed on a golf cart, which is a long way, we finally arrive at our destination. And they helped me to the thing. And I said, well, what if I wanted to go to the snack shop at the front desk or something? Or breakfast in the morning? How do I get there? I'm lost. You took so many turns. I don't know where I am. And the lady said, you have to call the desk. You can't walk around. This is a sprawling property. So you have to call the desk for a golf cart. So fine. So we order the food. The girl comes with the food. It's supposed to be half an hour. Takes an hour and a half. Okay. So we get the food. It's cold. And so we get the food. And I hand her cash. She goes, well, you can't do that. And I said, well, the front desk said, I don't care if the front desk said that. I can't take cash. It has to be a credit card at the front desk. I said, well, I don't have a credit card at the front desk because they told me I could pay cash. Well, I'm sorry, you can't have your food. So she takes the tray out of my hand. And I said, excuse me? I said, I've been waiting an hour and a half for this. It is 1 a.m. We are exhausted and we need to eat. And you won't give me the food because I'm giving you a tip with cash and you won't take it. No, you have to get back on the cart with me and we have to go back to the front desk. So I'm sorry, but I don't mean to be mean, but I kind of lost it. And I said, I grabbed the tray back from her and I pulled it off away from her. And I said, you ain't getting this tray. You ain't getting it. Well, I can't take cash. I could lose my job. I said, well, then you're not getting paid, are you? Because I'm not giving you back the tray. And I stepped into the doorway. And the little girl, she's just looking at me like with wide eyes, like, and I'm like, I'm not getting on that cart to go through the dark forest back to the thing to put a credit card when they told me I could pay you cash. So you don't want the cash? I put the cash in my pocket. I took the tray and I said, you go back and tell your boss that I am paying by credit card tomorrow. And since I don't know where I am, I can't exactly leave. You don't have to worry, because the only way I can get out of here is with the golf cart. So if you don't think I'm going to pay, you can bring security to pick me up tomorrow. And I slammed the door. I did. I was mad. And then I looked through the little peephole and I saw her walking away. So the next morning, I went to that front desk. I said, I want to speak to the manager. Oh, yes, Mr. Field. Yes, Mr. Field. Is everything okay? I said, you better believe there's a problem. And now don't push me. I'm sweet, but you push me, you'll see another side of me. That's maybe part of my office, because I'm serious. I have to have that attitude when I'm in countries that are difficult. But this is not country. This is not difficulty for the gospel. This is difficulty for my stomach, okay? And for my convenience. So the manager comes out, and they're very professional. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, have you seen how much I'm paying per night? $900 Canadian. Well, that's what I'm paying per night. Because I was told by Pastor Deanne that this is the best resort on the island, and we are only here for 2 nights, and we're tired, and we wanted to have a good experience, and I could have paid half that at another resort. Well, yes, sir, but this is a sprawling resort. And he starts going on about all the amenities and all the pools. And I said, stop. I said, with me paying this much, which is a violation of my own conscience almost. Because it's not the Taj Mahal, it shouldn't be costing me that much. So brother, figure it out when we get over there. No, I'm just kidding. I said, do you really think somebody that can afford to pay $900 a night cannot afford to pay $75 for 2 hamburgers? And that's another ripoff. It was $35 per hamburger. So U.S., so like, I'm already struggling over this. And then I said, do you really think that somebody that can afford to stay here can't afford $75 for food? Well, sir, we're not saying that. I said, yes, you are. Because that young lady insulted me last night. And she said that she don't trust me to come here with a credit card this morning, and she can't take cash, so she want to take my food away after making me wait an hour and a half, and it's cold, and it's $35 per hamburger, which is a ripoff to begin with. And he just looked at me. He was stunned. And he said, I am so sorry. He handled it right. See, a lot of these people don't know how to handle customers. He diffused it. And he said, sir, we have been completely wrong in this. He said, I'm so sorry. He said, I will be talking to that young lady and retraining her. Of course, we know you can afford it. And if you didn't have a card, she should have just given it to you on credit, because we know that you're not going to. I said, I can't leave because I don't even know where I am. It's 2 miles from the front desk. So he said, we're going to, then there was a fee that they were going to charge us another $250 Canadian just to clean the room, which wasn't included in the original charge. So I'm struggling over that. But he said, we're just going to cancel that for you because of your inconvenience. And then I'm starting to feel better. Well, okay, I got $250 out of it because I opened my mouth and I took a stand. And he was very apologetic. And then I said, okay. So then we go. We have the day. We come back, right? And then we're trying. They take us there. And then later that night, you know, we have to come to go to the service. And I'm calling. I need the golf cart. We don't have any drivers right now. I said, I have to go to a meeting. I need the golf cart now. Well, I'll see if I can find somebody. 10 minutes passes. 15 minutes passes. I need the golf cart. We don't have any drivers right now. This is what it was like. Do you understand what I'm saying? So finally, you know, I'm thinking, should we walk? We're going to get lost. I know we're going to get lost. Then I'm going to have to send up a smoke signal to say, here I am. What? Honestly, Tyrone, what do you do in a situation? They're too good for their own benefit. The sprawling is not an aid. It's an inconvenience. It's just ridiculous. And there's, and because I'm probably the only one, and at breakfast there was three people in this massive room, me, Jenny, somebody else. So because we're probably the only three people on the resort, that's probably why the chef went home. That's why it took an hour and a half. The chef went home early. And then they had to call him back. He had to get a cab to come back and then cook the hamburgers and then give them to us. But that's why it took an hour and a half, because the chef left. Because there's only three people on the entire property that holds 4,000 people. So what I'm saying is, like, no wonder why with the three people, where are the drivers? It's not like you've got a lot of people that need rides. Do you understand? I'm trying to express to you, all of these things happen. They don't need to happen. They don't need to happen. See, so I made a decision. I am not going on the cheap, because Oasis was hell. So I'm going for the most expensive thing. I'm going because I need to have a good experience. And the good experience was from hell. Just everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I don't want to be dealing with that when I have to preach. And when you pay money, you're expecting something to get from your money. When you're paying a criminal, corrupt, exorbitant amount of money, you're expecting them to wash your feet upon arrival. Not bring you cold food an hour and a half later, insult you, and then don't pick you up when you're in the middle of the wilderness and you don't know where you are.
Siberia was worse. You know it's true.
So, I said, Lord, what happened here? I did. I said, Lord, what happened here? Because this was a bad experience. And I didn't want to do the mistake I made before. Well, what happened here? And he said, son, you passed the test in not looking at the price. He said, but you're still up here. You're still up here. You're thinking, I don't want to repeat that, so I have to go with the expensive. You're still up here. But what did you sense coming out of here? I didn't sense anything. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I don't know. I felt kind of like this, but I don't know what that means. You know, when you're angry, you're defending yourself. You know, honestly, I talk to God that way because he loves me. And he said, son, that leaning is a leading. A leaning is a leading. He said, out of your spirit came a sense to go this direction. Very light. But you got back up into your mind, up in arms. Well, I don't want that experience, so I'm going to go with the high money now. But he said, the high money is not always going to be the best experience. So listen to me. I'm trying to help you. If you listen, this is practical living. High money in Oasis, it wasn't about the high money. In that case, it would have been better. But high money in Dominica was worse. So can you make a decision based on money? No. Can you make a decision based on if it's cheap? That would be a mistake. If it's more expensive, that would be a mistake. Because you don't guarantee, money does not guarantee you positive experiences. And the Holy Ghost knows the chef's going to leave. He knows I'm going to be lost in the wilderness with the palm trees. He knows I'm going to be frustrated. He knows the girl's going to make me feel like I'm some kind of a thief. He knows all of that. He saw it all in advance. So when I said, I wonder which one I should take. Lord, what do you think I should do? That one I did. Lord, what do you think I should do? Well, I guess there's nothing. So I'll just go with that, because I'm going to not make the same mistake again. But there was a slight leaning. And the Lord said, you didn't listen to that. He said, if you'd listened to that, you would have picked the most expensive. You would have picked the one half the amount, and you had a great time. I said, Lord, I'm so stupid. What is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? That's two mistakes I've made in as many months. He said, you're learning. He never condemns you. He said, you're learning. That made me feel a lot better. He wasn't mad at me because I didn't pay enough money, and then I paid too much money. He wasn't upset with me. God doesn't think about money from that perspective. His streets are gold. He doesn't think about that. He knows we do, but he is the boss, and he doesn't think about that. He is more interested in me learning than he is caring about whether there was money spent that shouldn't have been spent, because he can replace that. But he can't. This is so precious. He can replace money, but this can't be replaced, so to speak. You've got to learn this. You've got to learn this. So can I just exhort you tonight? I told you this is story night. I'm going to give you other stories, practical examples, because sometimes stories will help you learn. Give you handles on what to do. Don't make decisions based on money. On too much or too little, don't be cheap, don't be extravagant. Look to your spirit. And if you, and there's always going to be some kind, but it might not be the traditional real velvety or real red light check. It could be just a desire that comes out of you. It could be a leaning to one side. Follow that. Learn. Because the Holy Ghost is not boxed. He is not under some order because you think that he should only lead you with a red light and then a real strong green light. He has other ways to lead you. That's all part of the inner witness. Do you understand? And I learned that a leaning is part of that leading. I learned that a desire coming out is part of that leading. I'm trying to teach you because you might experience the same things. And most people are so focused on money. And I understand when you don't have a lot of money. I get that. But listen, you can't make decisions based on money. Learn to make decisions based on the inner witness of the Holy Ghost. And that inner witness will display itself to you in a variety of ways. I'm giving you a couple other clues tonight that sometimes it can be a sense of, I want to do this. And you don't know why that desire is a leading if it's out of here. And I don't know, I just feel to, it just feels better on this side. I don't know why. That's a leaning. Follow that. Don't just make the decision based on what the star rating says or how much money it costs because you think more money will be a better experience, because that's not always the case. Or that less money will be a better experience. That's not always the case. Are you listening? Well, okay. I thought I'd get done three or four. I only got done two. That's because you're all just looking at me like. I love you. We're trying to learn. I hope stories help you, because when Pastor Nancy tells me stories, I can picture it in my mind. And I think to myself, I went through something similar to that, but I didn't think that way. Dad Hagen told stories all the time. Jesus told parables, which are stories. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you living stories from my own life or from other people's life. So I know this is story time, and I guess then we'll do story time next week. Because I have more stories about being on a motorcycle, about being in that dangerous place in Guatemala. There's different stories, but they all connected to the leading of the Spirit. All connected to the leading of the Spirit. This one was more recent, and it was a dichotomy for me because I thought I was fixing it, but I wasn't, because I didn't follow this. I just followed what my wallet or what my mind thought. You don't know in your mind, because the leading of the Lord is of the candle. The spirit of a man is the candle. The mind of a man is not the candle. The spirit is the candle, illuminating the thinking. So learn to look down here. I don't know what you mean by that. Pray in the Holy Ghost more, and you'll start to understand what I'm talking about. Read the word more, but pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Pray. Paul said, I pray more than all of you. That means that Paul was praying daily for probably a number of hours, if he's praying more than every other Christian that he was writing to. So he was at the chief place of prayer. Paul had revelation. Why? Because he prayed more than anybody else. Paul had power. Why? Because he prayed more than anybody else. You want to have things in your life? Pray more than anybody else. Prayer, prayer, prayer. That's the key. It's prayer. You want to be led? Pray more. You'll be led more. You'll be healed faster. You'll have power more. You'll have unction. When you witness to people, the power will show up. Pray more. Prayer accomplishes everything. So let's learn to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. We got some little chocolates out at the front by the foyer. Just grab a handful, please. Don't open your pockets and pour every bowl into every pocket. Think of other people, too. But there are some chocolates out there. Feel free to help yourself. And praise God. Just be grateful that you're not on a golf cart tonight. Just be grateful. Heavenly Father, I wish I could keep going because there's so much to share with them, but we'll just pace ourselves. They need to go home. It's 9:00. I bless them. I thank you for them. Lord, I'm so grateful for this congregation. Lord, the ones watching, I'm so grateful for them. For the ones that have come, I'm so grateful for them. I bless them. As their pastor, I bless them in Jesus' name. Let the blessing of the Lord be upon them to make rich and to add no sorrow. Let the blessing of the Lord, put your hands up for a second. Father, let the blessing of the Lord be upon them in the name of Jesus to add, make them rich and add no sorrow. For you give them power to get wealth. You establish your covenant on the earth with them. They're covenant people. They're honorable people. Even the ones watching, Father, they may not be here, but there's reasons why they're not here. They're not just lazy. And they're honorable people. And I'm grateful for this congregation. I'm grateful for letting you letting me run my race with them. Lord, you could have given me a bunch of riffraff, but you gave me the cream of the crop to run my race with. And I thank you for them. And I bless them. Let them leave feeling loved by their pastor and by their pastor's wife. Let them leave feeling loved by you. Let them leave feeling with a little bit more ammunition in their guns, so to speak, to know a little bit more, just a little bit more, maybe not a lot, but a little bit more of how we need to approach life, approach situations, approach finances, how we need to think right, how we need to check our spirits, and how the Lord will lead us at different times. Lord, this will help them not make the same mistakes that I've made. And I give you praise for it. We're all learning, we're all growing, and we're all developing in this critical area.